Our podcast will begin in just a moment. Podcast production and distribution made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. We want you to know about KPP's investment programs, so we've posted complete information, including investing minimums and program goals and risk levels. You'll see our balanced income program. This investment approach primarily focuses on attaining an income stream through stable dividend-paying companies and quality corporate bonds. All the details are there when you're ready to take a look on investtalk.com. Just click on the Investments tab. End of commercial. And now, today's Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Invest Talk. I appreciate you being with me today. This is Friday, June 24th, 2016. And of course, we're all about above average investing for the average investor. Now, there was no surprise about yesterday's Brexit vote that created more volatility in the market. You know, you knew it was going to be volatile. That was pretty obvious. So what does the exit of Britain from the EU really mean for investors? And I don't think it's going to mean much long run on the long run. Maybe more volatility, as I said, in the short run. Maybe there's going to be a pullback in the market. You know, so what does the exit of Britain mean for the EU? Okay, well, that's more of a problem. You know, because there's going to be, you know, there's going to be things that are going to be happening, right? I don't think Britain's exit is going to have much to do about international trade. I don't think it's going to change much. Profits for large companies will probably be similar, the same. Currencies will move. The price of gold will rise because of the fear. But how long will that last? I think gold will rise on its own anyways. But so there's not much to worry about, really, for investors. And I know I'm going to get questions. Should I change my asset allocation targets? Is there a good buying opportunity here? I know I'm going to get those kind of questions. And these are questions that should be asked. You should ask these. And now over the next several trading days, we're likely going to see some more volatility. It's going to take a while for the markets to assimilate the news. And for most folks, keep your long-term view, everybody. Volatility is as much as part of investing as buying and selling. You're just going to deal with it. What happened today in the market going down sharply shouldn't affect your long-term outlook. Didn't change. We bought a stock today, but it didn't change our outlook and what our allocations were. We really didn't. So that's what I said in today's premium newsletter. The next story could be about other countries deciding to leave the EU. Other countries besides Britain. Germany's not going to do it, but you know, Netherlands, there's a number of countries, maybe even Italy. You know, that is really going to be the story for the market if another one starts to look like they're going to leave. And does this mean that the EU is doomed, that they're going to break apart? I don't know if I can say that. How about the euro? Is that going to eventually disappear? And everybody's going to start reprinting their own currencies again? Don't know. I don't think so. Anyways, I cautioned in my market commentary today with the presidential conventions coming up and then the election. Investors should still stay wary. Be careful. There'll be a lot of mudslinging by both candidates telling us how bad things are or will be if the other candidate wins. So there's a good chance investors will be influenced by that, by all that mudslinging in the election. We were influenced by this Brexit vote. So do you have questions about this development or any other kinds of developments? I would love to hear them. So give me a call. You want to talk about technical analysis, fundamental analysis? You can reach me right now at the 24-hour listener line. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. So let's go ahead and answer a question right now.
Hi, this is John in Virginia. I'm calling about Brexit. I'm sure you'll do a piece on it on today's show because it's dominating the news for obvious reasons since no one saw this coming. My question is, as I look at the gold trade part of Brexit, I see 1308 as the price that gold needs to hold in order to essentially overcome 2 years' worth of resistance and really sort of, by definition, be in its own bull market. First, I'm curious if that's a fair assessment from you all as well. And then when looking at the the more profitable way of playing gold, which is obviously the miners, or typically the miners. I'm curious about, assuming that the miners do well today, which I'm sure they will, is the better way to wait a couple of days before going into the miners, or would it be better to buy now with the thought that the metal will continue to move higher now that it had, assuming that it closes the week out above 1308, which I believe is the technical strong point for it. Thank you very much for your commentary. I appreciate it. I look forward to hearing the answer on the show.
Well, I think that's one of the sectors that's going to benefit from Britain leaving the EU is gold, and it really shot up today. I mean, gold was up 4.4% today, and oil was down 5%. So it really benefited gold, fear, because of fear, right? There's a lot of fear out there. I don't know if I would never, I tend never to buy anything when it moves up this much in one day. Because I just don't think it can, you know, the market is kind of like a slinky, up and down. So could it continue to rise from here because it broke above short-term resistance? Yes, of course. Should you buy it here? Well, you know, I don't want to be mean or anything, but I've been talking about gold for months. Back to last year, add some gold. And you would do with miners instead of the metal, I would think. So we have quite a few position, quite a number of miners in our stock managed account. So I'm still bullish. I think gold is going to go back to $1,500 an ounce. Now, will it be in a year? Will it be soon, long? Well, I think within a year would be reasonable. I think you've read the charts right about resistance. So I would probably not buy it today. I'd wait to let the market calm down a little bit and see if we get a pullback and then pick up some. That's what I would do. I would look at individual charts of the mining companies. See, not just, you know, you could look at GDX, which is the mining index ETF. And it broke out again just like gold today. And let it do some consolidation. I think that'd be smart. Let's also try to answer a question sent to us by text, the text format. Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Mike from Washington State. I have a question about value stocks. At what point does a stock become considered as a value stock? I am retired and looking for dividend stocks, but I'm patient and willing to wait for stocks to become value stocks. Thank you all for your help, and I appreciate it. And that's from Mike. Value stocks, you know, there's certain characteristics of value stocks versus growth stocks, and that's the delineation. Is it a growth stock or is it a value stock? You can have a growth stock that can become a value stock because of the other relationships. Value stocks generally are low PE ratios, meaning above market PE, for clearly above 15, but usually even lower than that. And they usually tend to pay pretty nice dividends. They tend to be big companies. You know, this is the problem with the market. There's no like, okay, here is the rule for this sector to find a value stock in this particular sector. Or here's a rule for all value stocks. There's no set hard and fast rule. Those things I just told you are considered, you know, some of the rules that people apply. You want low debt ratio, you want high return on equity, you want a good price sales ratio, you want a good inventory turnover number, and you can see I'm using words like good and high, but there's no clear definition of those names. What does high mean? What does good mean? It depends on the sector, it depends on the company, on and on and on. I wish it was easy. It's just not. It is just not. Sorry, Mike, but thanks for the question. If you have a child and you're trying to plan for college, and financing college is one of our main talking points today. 7 things to know about 529 programs, college saving plans. That's going to be the main talking point. Of course, I want to talk about the Brexit. And in particular, a couple of things. First, what retailers are going to get hurt by the Brexit? Because remember, they're going to start printing their own money, and the British pound fell 30% today or something. I don't remember exactly. I don't know what trade at, but a huge amount, at least before trading. And you'll have to forgive me, I was up about 4 this morning. The stupid British thing kept me up. And then I want to talk about what Brexit means to the U.S., the overall U.S. What does it mean to us? Does it mean anything? Is it going to hurt us, help us, what? And then living comfortable in retirement. What does that mean? Living comfortable in retirement. And I hate to tell you this, but there's just like there's no hard and fast rules about savings, there's no hard and fast rules. There just isn't. But those are the things we're going to talk about, unless you want to talk about something in particular on your mind. I'd love to do that. The Dow was down 611 points today. That's 3.4%. 611. The NASDAQ was down 202 points. That's 4.1%. So it led the fall down. And the NASDAQ was down 76, that's 3.6%, a little bit more than the Dow. Down 611 on the Dow, down 202 on the NASDAQ, down 76 on the S&P. Gold was up 4.4%, oil down 5%, as I said. So that's what happened to the market today, because obviously most people obviously felt that Britain was not going to leave the EU, or else the market wouldn't have reacted this much. I didn't think the market would have that much of a reaction, no matter what happened. But you got to remember, the market was up 200 points, the Dow was yesterday. So in as 2 days, it's been down 400 points, not just 600 points. So always put it in context. It's still a big move down, but not terrible. Our program is brought to you by KPP Financial, and of course, that's our firm. We offer a variety of hand-picked investing programs designed to meet a range of needs and retirement goals. If you're nearing retirement or hesitant to make yourself vulnerable to too much risk, well, I have a plan for you. We can take care of that. We have aggressive plans. We have, you know, high-growth plans. We have, you know, more conservative plans. It depends on what you want. We have several programs that try to meet those needs. Just click on the investments tab on investtalk.com.
Hi, I'm calling in with a question on ETF VYM. It's the Vanguard High Dividend Yield. Wanted to see your opinion on this and what you recommend getting into a fund. Thank you for your show. I'll be listening.
Well, I believe this is one on our ETF, high dividend paying ETFs list that we give out to people who ask for it. And VYM is on that list, Vanguard High Dividend Yield, exchange traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the FTSE High Dividend Yield Index, is paying 3.2%. And of course, it took a hit today, just like everything, almost everything else. Gold really rallied, but not much else. So the question is, where do you buy it? Do you buy it when it's on sale? Well, you want it to fall more. I would love for it to fall more. If you were looking to buy, you want it to fall more. So will it fall more? Well, it wouldn't surprise me if it didn't. I mean, it would surprise me more if it did not. I don't think it's going to fall much, but it was down 2.3% today. That means the dividend yield went up, right? Lower price, the higher the yield on the dividends. So that's a good thing. It looks like it's trying to find support, but you got to wait a few days. Wait till it settles down, trade sideways for a little while, and then you pick it up. And I think it's a very good ETF to hold if you need some diversification and you want dividends. This is what this is for. So from that point of view, it's a good thing to hold and a good thing to buy. But it's kind of more like a core holding, not something you trade. You don't trade this. You don't trade high dividend yield ETFs. They're more of a core holding. I was talking about charts earlier. If you'd like to see charts or see chart lessons that are available, we have them if you want to become an insider at investtalk.com. It's right there. There's info sheets on annuities and wills and trusts, life insurance, and a bunch of more stuff. So to become an insider, all you have to do, it's free, all you have to do is click on the Invest Talk tab on investtalk.com.
What are small cap stocks? What makes them act differently than large cap stocks? We'll have the answer coming up on Invest Talk.
Hello, my name is Jim. I'm from Minneapolis. I listen to you on the podcast. Great show. Really enjoy it. Always educational. I have a company that I'm looking at that I'd like to get your opinion on. It's called Manitex International. The stock symbol is MNTX. They're a very small company, which I know is riskier, cyclical industrial sector. Anyway, I would sure appreciate your taking a look at this stock and see what you think. Again, I really appreciate the show. I've learned so much from you guys, and enjoy the show. Thanks much. Bye.
Okay, it's Manitex International. It's a micro-cap stock, $107 million in market capitalization. It trades for $6.69 on the NASDAQ. And the one thing I do like about it, it makes money every year, has made money every year as far as I have information going back. It made a penny a share in 2015, but the year before it made 82 cents a share. And I'm wondering what that, I want to know. So this year it's going to make 13 cents. Next year it's going to make 28 cents a share. So $6.69 stock going to make 28 cents per share. That's not very expensive. And the growth rate is kind of erratic. It grew fast, 50, 60% for four quarters or so. And then this most recent quarter, all of a sudden only 1% growth. Before that, it was hardly growing at all. So you need to be very careful. It manufactures and distributes lifting solutions for utility, shipbuilding, and steel mill industries. So as you said, it's very cyclical, meaning if the economy goes down, this stock will definitely go down. Okay, so it's a good little company. Just be very, very volatile. And it has been, and it will continue to be. And it's on the cheap side, not expensive side at this point. And to answer the question, what's the difference between a small cap and large cap stock? Well, the small caps like this, this is not even small, this is a micro cap. Small caps are much more volatile, they go up much faster, and they go down much faster. Large caps usually have a much steadier business model, but not necessarily all the time, but most of the time. That's the difference. Large cap, meaning large companies, are more stable. So if you feel that you're going to have trouble times ahead, you might want to migrate to, and you still want to be in the market, you kind of slowly migrate into the larger companies, and that would be considered safer. Even though 2008, large caps went down pretty darn hard. Maybe not as hard as the small caps, but they still went down. Anyways, Dennis in San Francisco. How you doing, Dennis?
Hey, I'm doing good. The question is, a previous caller talked about Vanguard High Yield, and you commented on it.
Yes.
I want to know what you think of Verizon or AT&T. They're paying a 5% dividend in comparison to a high yield. What would you, what's your comment on that?
Well, I own AT&T in our managed accounts. I did own Verizon. I sold it not that long ago, and I've held them for years and years because of those dividends. I like, though, the dividends. And as I said, I still own AT&T. And AT&T, for instance, paying 4.6% dividend yield, and the stock has been marching up pretty steadily. So I like them, Dennis. And if you're going to not do ETFs, but you want high dividend, either one of these should be part of your portfolio. You might want to wait for a pullback because they've been marching up pretty good. But I would rather be, personally, if I'm in a dividend or an income portfolio that's designed, I would rather have individual stocks than ETFs myself, because you can pick. Remember, ETFs are full of stocks. There's good ones and bad ones in there. Even if it's a dividend-paying ETF, there's still bad ones in there, because there's 100, 200 stocks, whatever it is. But I'd rather have 15 of very carefully chosen high dividend paying stocks, and AT&T and Verizon be in there. So,
okay, yeah, that sounds good. Is there a reason you got rid of Verizon?
Hold on. excuse me. See, you try to not sneeze while on your live air. That's bad. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, Dennis. Why did I get rid of Verizon? I think it was just a matter of it really went up a lot, and I wanted to produce some cash and be more conservative. It wasn't that I didn't like it. I still like it. It was just that I thought I'd go ahead, and I've had it for some time, and I just took profits and wanted to be more conservative. Okay?
Okay. Now, do they make an ETF that has 15 good high yielding?
I have never seen one that with that few holdings. No, I have not.
Okay, that's too easy then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Dennis.
You answered my questions. Thanks very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Now's the time to call with your questions or share your investing experience. Call anytime. Our line, our 800-988-9888-99-CHART. And you can send a note to me directly, too. Click on Contact Steve at InvestTalk.com. That's an email that comes directly to me.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. You can join our InvestTalk Insiders and gain access to our library of webinars, like Seeing the Cycles, How to Recognize and Harness the Power of Market Cycles. Hidden in the continuous stream of numbers are cyclical occurrences, which help us anticipate both opportunity and risk. It's a free benefit for our InvestTalk listeners. Just click on the InvestTalk tab on InvestTalk.com. We continue with this Friday, June 24th, InvestTalk. Risk is one of the key measurements of a wise investment strategy. Capture your risk tolerance and see if your portfolio fits with your risk analysis. Try our free risk analysis tool. It's there for you on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Mike in San Jose. He wants to talk about gold miners. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I was hoping you can look at it and see what your short or long-term target would be on GDX.
I think GDX is going up more. GDX, everybody, is the gold miners index, VanEck Vector Gold Miners ETF, corresponding to the New York Stock Exchange Arca Gold Miners Index. I think it's going higher. And if you'll notice, Mike, gold it goes up a certain percentage, and the gold miners go up a lot more than the gold itself. So we owned a number of the miners in this index. So we kind of like this. I think GDX is going to go much higher. It's going to, maybe I can get a longer term view of this. And maybe that will help me. What I'm doing is I'm looking at a chart. Yeah, I think, it's at 26.75 now. It's hitting in some resistance right about now, right in this $27, $28 area. I have a feeling it's going to go back up to, my gut feeling is going to go back up to 40. That's where I think it's going to go. Okay, Mike?
Is there a time period for that type of target?
I'm thinking within a year.
Okay, good enough. Thank you.
But Mike, I don't know that. I'm just my feeling. It looks like on a chart that's where it should go. Okay? Thank you for the call. I appreciate
it. Okay, good enough. Thank you.
Okay, what the Brexit, the vote, is going to hurt certain retailers, two in particular. One, you may not know, which is H&M or Hermes and Moritz. That's a big European retailer with, quite a bit of business in Britain, and of course, why would it hurt that? Because the British pound is going to get hurt and was trampled on today. But the other company that you might be aware of is TJ Maxx, TJX, because TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Home Goods, they have a pretty big chunk of business in England. Now, after I just told you what companies would probably get hurt, you should. I look at it this way. Boy, am I going to get an opportunity in either one of those? Looking at TJ Maxx, okay, I think that's a pretty well-run company. I kind of like the company. I just think it's too expensive. And I think we got to wait for a correction, and there might be an opportunity. Yeah, so they own 3,600 stores, and they have about 5% or so of their business in England, in Britain. So are they going to be an opportunity coming up? Well, you got to wait for it because the stock still looks pretty strong. I mean, it was down 5.7% today, but I don't know if that's down enough for me to think about. Not yet. But there might be some opportunities. Whenever there's bad news about something or something is got beat up unfairly, you look for the opportunities. That's what your job is as an investor. Let's go to Brian in La Honda. How you doing, Brian? Brian,
all the
you there?
Time. Really like it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I had a question about a stock I picked up, Rose Rock Midstream. They're an oil stock. They're down, you know, way off of their highs, but they still pay a really big dividend. And I wanted to know what you thought about the company going forward, if you can tell, and if what you think about that dividend, if they're going to be able to keep it up.
What's the symbol? The symbol they have down here doesn't seem to work for me. RRMS?
That's correct.
Okay, Rose, there it is. Okay, my mistake. MS. Okay, they are engaged in midstream energy operations in Colorado, Kansas, Montana, Minnesota, New Mexico, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Texas, Wyoming. Yep, that middle. Okay, so let's take a look at their numbers. Of course, they have had, you know, there's a $939 million company, so it's a small cap company selling for $25 a share, $25.36. They're going to make $1.43 this year, but then 94 cents next year. So they're going to have a really good year this year, up 80% from the year before. But then all of a sudden fall off another 30, 35% next year. I don't know why that's so. Something I'd like to look at. They pay a dividend of 10.4%. Now, can they maintain that? That's really your issue. They have really good cash flow, $2.36. And it's a $25 stock, and they're going to make 94 cents. Well, 10% of $25 is $2.50, and only going to make 94 cents. Their cash flow is $2.36. Remember, how are they going to maintain that 10% dividend if they got to at least make $2.50 to pay it? And they're not going to make $2.50 either cash flow or dividend. Now, how can they do that, Brian? They could do it. How? Well, a couple years ago, they issued more shares, so they just gave back people their own money. You could do that. They could issue more shares again. Yeah, so it can be done. I just don't know if that's a good idea. I would be very, very careful buying this stock for the dividend because I don't think they can support 10% for very long. You know, not years and years, no. Maybe this year they, you know, they're going to have to dilute something if they want to maintain that dividend. And that means issue more shares. And I don't like that. That's, they have a pretty big debt problem, too. They have a lot of debt already.
Okay.
So I would be very careful with Rose Rock. Road Rock Midstream. Okay? Thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. RRMS. Let's go to Raphael in New Jersey. He wants to know if there's a chance of a recession. How you doing, Raphael?
Hey, Steve. How you doing? Good to talk to you.
Thank you. Is there...
Go
ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was thinking of... Seeing the market movement today, I mean, I was thinking, okay, there's a lot of things on sale, but then I remembered... You know, a lot of the economic expansions off of a bottom go between like 4 to 7 years. So we've really pretty much exhausted all of a normal cycle. I know the Fed has influenced this and distorted this, but I don't see myself buying on this dip because how much further up can we go, right? I mean, it's not the norm to keep going forever, right?
If you're talking about the economy, your answer is correct. The answer is yes. We are pretty long in the tooth in this economic recovery. The other side of that argument, Raphael, would be, yeah, we're long in the tooth, but we never really got really rolling. We never got really a really hot economy. It never really took off. And it didn't. It never really did. So that would be the argument. Well, we could be long in the tooth, and it's okay because the recovery was pretty mild, not really strong. So that would be the argument. But it is, your observation is correct. We are long in this recovery. And therefore, the cycle has been stretched. Why has the cycle been stretched? And you mentioned it yourself. The Fed. The Fed stretched it out with cheap money. Now, the Fed is probably not going to raise rates anytime soon. Not with Britain. Well, with the Brexit, when they left the EU, I think. You know, the only way I can see them raising rates, if you know, the next jobs report is 400,000 jobs or some crazy number, and that's not going to happen. So you're right. That's why I've been advocating for almost a year now, time to be careful with this market. Be a little bit defensive. Don't worry about having cash on the sidelines. It's okay, even though I know it's not making money. Don't be anxious to get into the market. Don't.
Right.
Okay,
sounds good. Thank you, Steve.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. Good call. Is there a chance of recession? Heck yeah. I'm going to say yes. I mean, the leading economic indicators came out, and they were negative. And these LEI numbers are composed of 10 separate leading economic indicators, and it was negative. It was positive last month. And it usually points to like 3 to 6 months out. It's not hugely negative, but it still doesn't give you a lot of comfort. It just doesn't. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk about the 529 programs. You've heard me talk about it numerous times. And the benefits, remember, 529 programs is educational retirement kind of account, okay? When I say that, it's specifically, every state has to support its own 529. And the number 529 just is a reflection of the code in the federal law. And what it does, you can put money in 529 program, and you can designate that money for education. It's required. It has to be for education. You name the person it's for, maybe your child, or it could be your wife or husband. It could be your cousin. It could be anybody. And you can change that name if you want to. And it grows federally tax-free. The growth of the money is not taxed federally. But it could be taxed by the state, and many states do tax it. There are some tax, like, I think, was it Illinois? I'm trying to remember which state. There's a couple of states out there, I think it's Illinois, or maybe Indiana, that gives you tax breaks from the state. Some states give you tax breaks as well on the growth of the money. Now, there's different kinds of 529 plans, and some are more flexible than others. You don't have to be in Illinois to buy an Illinois plan or Florida to buy a Florida. You could be in California and buy a Florida plan or whatever state. Or you can buy a California plan, or they can buy one. You don't have to be in the particular state. But they are state-sponsored. Not all states have them. I think 34 states. And there's two really basic kinds. One is you put money aside and invest it, let it grow. The other is you can pay for college tuition directly now, while it's cheaper with your 529 money. And then when your kids, you know, 10, 15, 18 years ago and from now, goes to that college, tuition's paid for, part of it or all of it. And the reason, what's that benefit? Well, you pay for it in today's dollars for 15 years from now, when it's going to be a lot more expensive. That's the thinking. They're a really good way to help pay for college. They really are. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you anytime. Let's see. Let's do Invest Talk 101. Just lost my screen there for about 5 seconds. And I go, uh-oh. Why trading volume is so important. Trading volume. Now, that's a measurement of the activity of the market or the activity of a stock. How much trade buys? Remember, for every time someone sells a stock, someone else is buying it. We're talking about the volume of shares changing hands and why that is important. When volume is low, it attracts manipulators. Let's say you buy a small company and the volume is, you know, 100 shares a day. Manipulators can come in there and try to push the stock up, 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 and then advertise it, how great it's done. And then as soon as you come in, they sell all their stock to you. So, you know, there's scammers. Big volume can indicate either good or something bad. Something good or something bad. Big volume on a stock or a stock market. In other words, volume can increase dramatically when everybody wants out and there's panicking. And volume can increase dramatically when everybody wants in. So watching volume helps you decide, helps you on a technical basis, whether the stock or the market is weak or strong. Weak or strong. So you should ask yourself, well, what about today? What about today's volume? Was it high? Was it astronomical with the market moving up? I mean, moving down so strong? Well, I'll have you know, the volume spiked to maybe more than two times normal. Two times normal. So there was a lot of fear out there today. So that might tell you that there's more to come. And what you're really looking for is an exhaustive sell-off. And you can't really say it was an exhaustive sell-off because normally what you get an exhaustive sell-off is you get a trickle effect. Down, 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 down. Then everybody finally gives up and sells off in a huge volume and everybody's out. And that's really a buy signal. So can you say today's a buy signal? No, because yesterday was a big up day. Was it a big up day on high volume? No. Very low volume up day. Very high volume down day. Kind of leads me to believe that we probably got some more ways to go on the downside. Now, the technical analysis when you're looking at volume is not science. It just tends to be true. That's InvestTalk 101, everybody. Is there a topic you want to know more about? Get in touch. We're right here now at 888-99-CHART. You can write me a note. Also, click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin at InvestTalk.com, and we'll get the email. It comes directly to us. Now, we talked about Brexit and what couple of stocks that would have hurt. What about the entire U.S. economy? What does it mean for our economy? And I got three things to point out that it's going to mean. Also, by the end of the show, I'm hoping to talk about living comfortably in retirement. Those are the two things I want to discuss before the end of the show. But, of course, your calls always come first. What do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? I know you're probably nervous after today's action. We'll see if it follows through next week. No one really knows. It's always interesting. We are living in interesting times. You're listening to InvestTalk. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley, and we have time to get your question before the hour's up. So you can give us a call, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. So what does the Brexit mean, you know, with Britain leaving the EU? What does it mean to the U.S. economy? Does it mean anything? Well, first of all, it will tighten financial conditions. It will tighten them because there's lots of big banks in England, big financial centers there, and the British pound fell like a stone. So it will tighten the financial conditions. At the same time, our Fed is fully aware of that, aren't they? And they've been talking about raising rates. And they didn't raise it last time. They're probably not going to raise it now. Maybe they'll wait till the end of the year. That kind of offsets that. There's an estimate out there by experts, and you do remember that I always tell you that experts are usually wrong. But the experts are saying the Brexit is going to affect our economy by 0.2% to 0.6% on our GDP. Pull it down by that much. I don't know if I believe that because I know the Fed will be, you know, there to try to pick us up. And I do believe the whole situation is kind of short-term in nature and regional. Short-term and regional, the effects. Short-term means On our stock market, like what we're dealing with today, I think that's not going to last very long. For our economy, yeah, it might have some effect, but it's mostly going to be effective in Europe, and in particular, England, Britain. Let's talk to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Steve. Good. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
What do you think of Regent Financial? It's a big bank here in Southeast. It's like $11 billion market cap, but stock looks cheap.
It's a regional financial corporation. RF is the symbol. A holding company for regionals bank operating through 1,627 offices in 16 states in the South and the Midwest. I do like regional banks better than the major banks because, you know, I think they have better growth prospects, whereas the major banks, you got that Dodd-Graham Act that's really putting a kibosh on them trying to make a lot of money. So this bank looks pretty healthy. It's an $8.53 stock. They're going to make 93 cents next year after making 84 cents this year. So that's like a 10% increase. And the sales are increasing 6 to 8% in the last couple of quarters. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not giant growth, but it's pretty steady growth. And it is fairly inexpensive. It pays a 3% dividend. $8.53, they're going to make 93 cents a share. At $8.53 a share, that's less than a 10 PE. And the five-year average is 8 to 65. So, yeah, it looks you had a pretty big hit down today. Bobby, I'd wait to see if it calms down. If it does, when it goes sideways a little bit, pick it up. I like it.
Okay. Thanks. I have a question. Time for one more.
I got to go to the next guy. I really do, Bobby. Appreciate it. Let's go to Bill in the Bay Area. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Steve. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Well, I'm curious about Restoration Hardware. What can you tell me about this company? And has it been public for a long time?
Oh, yes. It's been out there a long time, and it's been hit, operates 69 retail stores, 17 outlet stores offering decorative hardware, bathware, furniture, and lighting. And I'm going to have to fess up that we bought this stock today. We bought one stock in the last, I don't know how long, and today we bought Restoration Hardware. We thought it looks like a really steep discount. They're going to make $2.36 next year. That's 41% higher than this year. Their sales growth has been slowing. They were 20% a year, 2 years ago. Now they're only growing 8 to 10%. But the stock got crushed from like near $100 a stock down to 27. That really, so it's now a big value play. It's a $1 billion stock market cap. So we kind of like what we see here. And it seems like a very easy out. If we're wrong, you know, we're going to get out if it breaks the lows that it just made. So we don't have a lot of risk in the stock. Okay?
Well, I'm just curious what's the potential timeline for if this to go up? You think this could take a couple of years, or is this a fast?
Well, year? I think it could easily, if the economy still keeps rolling at this slow pace and stays at this slow pace, I think it'll recover to $35 by the end of the year. I do. I think that's
pretty
possible.
Good move. Huh?
Yeah, not bad. Bill, appreciate the call. Thank you. Time to close it for the day, everybody. If you'd like to schedule a portfolio checkup with me, I'll be in San Ramon for these individual retirement reviews on June 28th and in San Jose on the 29th. And, you know, the times are filling up. We don't have a lot of space left. To get on the schedule, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today. And let's meet up again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.